Hoje já na lai, Jonjo, Bode, Dani, Jazuja, Davi, Chini, Jimbe, Zonanje, Rola, Benje, Zanje, Rabarayo. Chada, Zodje, Jona, Lai, Jonjo, Bode, Dani, Jazuja, Davi, Chini, Jimbe, Zonanje, Rola, Benje, Zanje, Rabarayo.
Let us cultivate the altruistic motivation. We call it bodhicitta motivation. That is seeking complete enlightenment for the sake of benefiting all other sentient beings. And with that kind of motivation, we should participate in this teaching on understanding bodhisattvas' vows or ethics.
Last Sunday,
I explained what is known as the 18th root transgressions or downfalls of bodhisattva practices. For example, one of the root transgressions is to indulge in self-praising and belittling others. Okay. Now, simply praising oneself and belittling others may not necessarily constitute what we call a root transgression or a downfall. There are other conditions that they must come into play, if you will. So I told you that I would be maybe explaining the details, if you will, that relates to the bodhisattva's root transgressions or the downfalls. For example, we can talk about what is known as the four binding factors or the four fetters. Okay? So how when those four binding factors or the fetters come into play, with any of these root vows, then we may constitute or we may incur a root transgression or a downfall.
So
what are the four, what in Tibetan called kunti, means binding factors or four fetters, if you will. Number one is not to consider indulging in any of those transgressions as negativity. Okay, when we say something like in our mind, what's wrong with it? You know, I can just do it. Okay, so then we are really what are called very negligent and you know disregarding the negativity of all those actions, and so that's one of the binding factors. And another one is, you know, we indulge in any of those transgressions very delightedly, you know, with like satisfaction. Okay, I did it, you know, there we go, sort of thing, you know. Of course, Kishila didn't say there we go, but, you know, the sense of that feeling, you know, the satisfaction with sense of joy, you know, happily indulging in those transgressions, that would be another binding factor. Then we can talk about you know, lack of what we call shame and sense of concern for others. The Tibetan technical terms are mosameba, means lack of shame. Now, this is defined as, you know, not taking into account one's own what we call concerns. For example, if someone with a monastic vows or ordinations, you know, break a vow, really doesn't care about his or her own monastic vows. So what? I'm a monk, what can, right? That would be shamelessly engaging in negativity. And the lack of concern for others is, you know, as a monk, if you say, you know, I should not do some those negativity, then what would others think of me? You know, others will lose faith if I don't behave properly, right? Because out of concern for others, you prevent yourself from engaging in any negativity. But if you say, you know, who cares what others think? Yeah, I'll do it anyway. That's a lack of concern for others. And sometimes it's translated as what we call embarrassment, shame and embarrassment in some other translations. Okay, so those two are combined together. Lack of shame and concern for others, we indulge in the negativity. Then the next one, which Geshe-la has yet to explain, is you know, not wanting to stop indulging in those negativities. Okay. That's all again for that. So what Geshe-la explained is that out of the 18 root transgressions or the downfalls, accepting these two, giving up bodhicitta or the altruism, and generating wrong views, we call lokha, for the remaining other 16 of them, these binding factors must come into play. Okay? If these binding factors come into play, and we indulge in any of those 16 downfalls, then it really becomes what we call a root transgression or a downfall. If any of these binding factors do not, you know, come into play, yes, we have created a negativity, but it's not considered as a downfall, moral downfall, if you will. But the two exceptions are giving up bodhicitta, that doesn't need any of these binding factors, and generating wrong views or what we call distorted views, lokha. That doesn't need any of these binding factors. If we somehow give up bodhicitta or generate a wrong view, that's it. Yeah, we have incurred a moral downfall in the bodhisattva
practice.
Let's say, you know, nimimita, one of the binding factors is not seeing fault, not seeing anything wrong during negativity. That's what we're talking about, right? With that, and any of the other remaining three binding factors is coming to play, one or two, then the negativity that is incurred is called sapading, means a sort of a, you know, intermediate, you know, if you will, downfall. Okay, it's kind of a middle level downfall. It's not a root transgression or a root downfall, but it's an intermediate, close, you know, quite serious, but not complete root transgression. Now, if out of the four binding factors, or the fetters, sometimes translation is, okay, I'm throwing all the words to you so that you might read across anything. If this particular binding factor is not present, that is not seeing fault in doing negativity, nothing wrong in doing negativity. If this is not present, but other three binding factors are present or, you know, come together, and then we break any of those vows, then that downfall becomes what we call, for lack of a better word, called a small downfall. Okay, or I think that's what I can say. It's a small downfall, not the intermediate, but it's a small downfall.
So,
of course, whether it is a small downfall or intermediate downfall, right? But these are part of, right? We call downfalls. When we talk about the moral downfalls in the Bodhisattva practices, all of these are included, depending upon the level, the degree, the level of downfalls. You know, one is small, and one is intermediate, and one is really the most serious one. So with that, we have talked about what we call the 18 root transgressions and the moral downfalls in Bodhisattva practices, and I give you a little details about how those four binding factors come into play. So now we will move into the second category of Bodhisattva ethics or the vows, which we call its secondary transgressions, or secondary, if you will, downfalls. We call nyeche shiru. There are 46 of them. Yeah. So I'm going to go with one by one here. The first one is if we do not pay respect to, or we say prostrate to, and offer to the three jewels, and if a day pass by, if we don't do any of those, right, if a day pass by, that would be the first secondary
transgression.
And a second secondary transgression is that if we do not counteract our deluded states of mind, yeah, we let the delusion go rampant, if you will, right? So out of attachment, out of lust, out of what called discontentment or lack of contentment, if you will, if we indulge in sensual pleasures without any because of restraint, then that is a secondary transgression. Yeah, so indulging in delusions, how should we put it, freely.
Yeah.
And the third secondary transgression is, we have to respect what we call senior bodhisattvas. Senior bodhisattvas, we have to respect them. If we can help them, render service to them, and what is due to them. But if we don't do that, if we are being disrespectful to a senior bodhisattva, seniors to oneself, okay, that would be another secondary transgression. So that should be number three.
Number four,
secondary transgression is when others really sincerely ask you questions, okay, and the assumption is you know the answers, okay, and you don't answer them either out of animosity or anger or hostility or out of laziness, then that would be a secondary transgression. When others sincerely ask you questions and you have the answers and you don't respond to them out of anger, hostility, laziness, that would be a secondary transgression. So the fifth secondary transgression for a bodhisattva is if someone gives a kind invitation and rejects the invitation out of some hostility or laziness or what we call some kind of animosity. For example, in the Buddhist literature, we talk about there's a nine category of sort of animosity. For example, you say, you know, or somebody harmed me. Okay, in the past, so I don't like that person. Okay, or that somebody is harming me now, or somebody will harm me, and we think somebody is going to harm me, so therefore we're not happy with that person. There are three attitudes, right? Or that, or somebody hasn't harmed me, but has harmed my good friend in the past, or is really harming now, or might harm in the future, so therefore I don't like this person. There's three more, right? Or somebody hasn't harmed me or my friends, but they're having the best buddy with my enemies, see? Okay, so they are benefiting my enemies, they benefited my enemies, they are benefiting my enemy, they may benefit my enemies, so therefore I don't like it. I got my attitude, right? So with any of those nine attitudes, okay, we say, you know what, thank you for your kind invitation, no thank you, I'm not coming. Okay, so there is a secondary transgression.
Lilo ang milena, sala soba milen yi study kunung yebe ang malena ini yi ji shagra mi kunung tre ngeba bende yi ji shang do ko mar ba bo tre khanji.
And the sixth secondary transgression is if out of a generous benefactor and offers gold or silver or you know some precious things, then out of some animosity and negative motivation, if a bodhisattva rejects the gift, then that would be a secondary transgression.
Yeah.
Including out of laziness.
Number
seven, secondary transgression could be that when someone sincerely requests for teaching, yeah, and if out of some bad attitude or motivation, if one doesn't refuse to give the teaching, then for the bodhisattva that would be a secondary transgression. Now, simply not giving teaching doesn't mean secondary transgression, okay? But out of some attitude problem or some issue with that person, if a bodhisattva refuses to give teaching, that would be a secondary transgression or downfall.
Yeji dumbo de gewa chudi jimbe midi chori is that this is the party talk na shena in jimbe midi chori is tante ti yeji dumbo de.
So those seven secondary transgressions are associated with or related with bodhisattva's practice of perfection of giving or generosity, dan paramita. Yeah, relating to the perfection of generosity or dan paramita. If bodhisattva were to indulge in any of those seven, what we call transgressions we talked about, then that would be secondary transgressions.
Yeah.
Number 8, secondary translation would be if a bodhisattva out of anger or laziness or some attitude problem belittles others who have broken their moral ethics. Okay? When they see that, instead of really being accepting and compassionate, if he sees that, you broke the vows, so therefore you're blacklisted in my book or sort of thing. Of course, that's not said exactly, but you get the point. So then we have issue here. It is a secondary transgression, right? Out of anger or laziness or some attitude problem, if bodhisattva were to put down people who have broken their vows or moral ethics or something, then it is a secondary transgression.
So good here some do love and you do not draw Milona Paru.
Ninth secondary transgression would be even if a bodhisattva is on high level of realization, yeah. But if he or she were not to follow the Vinaya rules, just like others, just kind of giving that attitude, I'm kind of a highly realized one, so I can do whatever I think, okay, then got a problem. Okay, so had to, even if one has a high level of realization as a bodhisattva, but one must still follow the Vinaya rules like other, Vinaya practitioners. So number 10, secondary transgression, the way it is explained sounds like for a bodhisattva with monastic vows. Say, the example given is that usually a fully ordained person has to always carry the saffron robes, right? The one Kesala is wearing on the top, there's another extra one, like wherever they go. So they cannot separate themselves from those monastic clothing. If they do, they are breaking certain vows. Yeah? Now, supposing a monastic has left his or her those upper robes at home and went somewhere else, and then over there, people said, could you give teaching and evening stay over today, right? They said, no, I forgot my, I got to go back, my vow. Then just for the sake of that minor, then say if you kind of refuse to stay and benefit the larger people, then that would be a secondary transgression.
Okay? Hendon Chabajin,
So the 11th secondary transgression would be, this is a very serious matter, that if a bodhisattva clearly sees is very capable of, you know, having to indulge in any of the seven negativities of the body and the speech for the greater benefit of others out of compassion, the infinite compassion. And if he or she doesn't do it, then that would be a secondary transgression. Now, I'm generally speaking, right, we are all prevented from indulging in all the 10 negativities of body, speech, and mind. That being said, for real bodhisattvas, or not those who are trying to be one, okay, for the real bodhisattvas, when out of infinite compassion and under the special condition and consideration, you know, they may have to indulge in any of the seven negativities of body and speech, not the three of the minds, okay, seven of the body and speech. If he or she doesn't do that, that would be a secondary transgression. Now, here is a case in point, example. Okay. When our historical teacher, Shakyamuni Buddha, in one of his lifetimes, he was a captain of a ship, or a sail. And so he was sailing with, others to fetch jewels from distant island. On the way, it is said that they met a very evil person, okay, you know, who was going to kill all those 500 merchants on the board, okay, and he will snatch away all their jewels. So now the captain of the sea, who is a bodhisattva at this point, right, and thought about this, you know, how best can I save the lives of the 500, you know, merchants on the board, and as well as save this person from doing serious negativity and being reborn in hell, okay, so I cannot let that happen. So out of infinite compassion, with that far-sighted vision, you know, thinking of everybody else, then the captain of the, you know, captain of the sea decided to kill this evil person. He said, you know what, I'm willing to go to hell for him, but I don't want him to kill all the 500 merchants and go to hell. So rather, I will go to hell for him and save the 500 merchants. Under that kind of special condition, as you can see, a bodhisattva has to act. Yeah? If a bodhisattva says, you know, and I'm not going to do it, this transgression comes up. Are you with me? So that story is a good case in point. But as Geshe-la really emphasized this point, you know, we cannot pretend to be bodhisattva and say, you know what, I have a license to do anything I like. No. Okay, that would be a terrible mistake. You know, you cannot have a bigger tragedy than that, spiritual point of view. A real bodhisattva, we are talking about, this is the situation. Okay. So the one thing I've, you know, that story I just told you, when the captain of the sea, with, you know, this clear vision and infinite compassion, you know, acted, said, you know, I'm ready to go into hell if need be for my negativity. I'm going to save 500 merchants on the board. I'm going to save this person from going into the hell. Yeah. Actually, that negativity he created, it accentuated his accumulation of merit that speeded up, you know, his progress towards the enlightenment, you know, accumulated so much merit from performing that action.
So
This must be the 12th secondary translation for Bodhisattvas. So that is basically indulging in any of the five wrong means of livelihood and not adopting any antidotes to counteract them. Yeah. So now the question is, what are the five wrong livelihoods? Yeah. And so number one is being a hypocrite. Yeah. So just kind of acting it all out like I'm so cool and you know Bodhisattva of this kind or that kind, whatever, and just in order to deceive others and gain something from them. Yeah. So being a hypocrite, which means behaving not in a normal way as one is, but just putting on that face and behavior nicely in front of others, right, to gain something. Being a hypocrite is one of the wrong means of livelihood. And kasa is flattering. Okay. Simply being, talking nicely doesn't mean, okay, flattery. Out of like, in order to gain something for this other person, then you just flatter like anything, you're such a sweet talker, as we would say. So that would be another wrong means of livelihood. And another wrong means of livelihood would be shoglong. You don't ask directly, I need something or give me, right? You just kind of very drop the hints. Yeah. Remember, you were such a great benefactor. Last year you gave me something that was so useful, Well, the message here is not simply appreciating it, just bring it more. Yeah. Give it again. So that is a really very indirect, what in my field is called implicit communication. Yeah. So yeah. I could use my thing here. Another wrong means of livelihood is tabji jabar, through skillful means, you try to gain something, And the fifth one is nyebe nyeba sawa. Make a small gift, get a bigger one. Okay? And so that would be like, you just, out of it, all the ulterior motives, right? That's the more thing, We are not saying that making a gift is a bad thing, that's a wrong means of livelihood, or receiving a gift is a wrong means of livelihood. We are not saying that. Out of ulterior motives, when you play the game so well, yeah, I give you a little box with not much value, but I want something big return, then we got a problem. Yeah. So those are the five wrong means of livelihood. And as a bodhisattva, if you don't prevent yourself from them or counteract these things, but you just indulge in any of them, then that would be a secondary transgression.
Okay,
it's not skillful means, it's a top instead of a tap. I've heard like a tap, so it's a top. There is a vowel missing on my ears. So which means like, Gishara's example is being sort of a persistent, If, say, a benefactor or somebody has something that you wanted, even if he or she is not ready to give, you just kind of insist, I really need it, Come on, let it go, So I want it, And so that would be a wrong means of livelihood.
Okay. Yeah.
The 13th secondary transgression is, how some people are so good at faking everything, whatever they're talking about or their behaviors. In that way, if you somehow influence or deceive a lot of people, then that would be a secondary translation for Bodhisattva. Because what is happening is you are, wasting time and energy and, so much negative influence on others. So faking out, and you don't realize how they fake out. They're so good at faking out about whatever they're saying and doing. So that would be 13th secondary transliteration.
Ta chip chip de ro wa chang zim nyang nyang de la gar me sha chi te la jab ji so par sha nyu mu la ji par me sha sing te da la la sem che di em par me sha di ke wa thang me sum di ko wa ko yi chang ju jo ba la ta sing te ge man na ko wa ji bu jo ba sem ni ji de se wa da ka ni ga de de pa ji sha jo ro wa chang ji se ba zo ni pa ba zo ro wa de zi sha ba che di ni me bon sa ko wa ta ji wan za chi gu ma ri sha ni ni sem che yu don de be ke wa chang me de ko wa ji wa ling se de ge ji chang ji che ba jo ro wa ta de le chu wi so ni ma ri ve de de so ri ji chang ji se ba zo be ni mo de zo be pa bon go ma ri in ko wa yu rung bo de go re se ni ta ta ba ta ya bi ge top go ma ri si o de de si la bi na ta in ni de le kar sa ko wa ji bu and there what you would do a seminary is what
14th secondary transgression would be if a bodhisattva were to claim that he or she does not need to abandon delusions or afflictive emotions kleshya and doesn't need to really to think about what called the freedom from samsara, then that would be secondary transgression. Now, let me explain this more. You know, how generally we say that bodhisattvas, if need be, they would be happy to be reborn in the samsara over and again, right, in order to work for and benefit sentient beings. Yeah? So based upon that, some people have this assumption that, bodhisattva therefore doesn't need to get rid of the delusions. Yeah, because they are coming back to samsara to benefit sentient beings. So that would be a terrible misunderstanding. If a bodhisattva were to make such a claim that I don't need to work to get rid of my delusions, because after all, and I'm coming into samsara for you, really? Anyway, so in other words, a pretended one, well, then that would be a secondary transgression.
Yeah. Kasa mena keva jadi niye me shuchu basi anu kaji hedo de pige kale kaze jan ja shur se ke ja jor wal o ti sar da ngon de na ta chito chito na sin ngon de te da ne tol dan dan yim se ju ke ja dan yim se ja jor wal dan yim se di shi ze lo ne ne pige so za ka an ro sha ma ju me ga ga ji guan yin de se go ma ro wa o de de ji guan de ji sha go da
So here I think it is true that bodhisattvas have a different goal and different vision, because they are really not seeking a solitary peace of nirvana for themselves, and their main goal is to get rid of the obstruction to omniscience and become an enlightened being for the sake of others. So therefore, they are willing to come into samsara and stay as long as need be to benefit others. Yeah, that's the reality, real bodhisattvas. But under the pretense of that, if a bodhisattva can say, you know what, I don't need to work with my delusions, you know, I'm a bodhisattva, right? So therefore, then that would be a secondary transgression. The difference, we talk about the bodhisattvas or other kinds of practitioners, it's just like in our society, we said all human beings have equal rights, right? But that being said, based upon our trainings and educational experience backgrounds, people have different positions in the society, right? So we cannot say, there is no equal rights because people are up there and people are down below. So in the same way, a similar thing here, the bodhisattvas, generally speaking, are dedicated for the well-being of sentient beings, but under the pretense of that, cannot say, that I don't need to work with my delusions. Okay.
Rang tsik mi zin pang ta chi rup tere, ya chong ka pa ting sa. Mi zin pang mi zin pa ki ki nye ta si karin ta, mi nye pa tam nye shen wa ki rang la ye wa ten mi se ki mi bo na chapa ma mi bo nye shi. Khon si tere, piki ta mi kuwa kak ta ya ma ra se ya, su su lu nga jo wa piki duk sha mi cha sha ya mi wa shing ki jo ra wa. Se tere yu na ti mi su piki cha le rup tere chi tene, su su ti ha kuwa shin ti ya,
The 15th secondary transgression for bodhisattvas would be, to prevent, literally it says to prevent bad reputations in the society. So what that means, if a bodhisattva has made a mistake and there's a kind of bad name, yeah, people are talking about it, then bodhisattva has to make every effort to clear off that and not to have any more bad reputations in the society. If he doesn't do that, or she doesn't do that, then that would be what we call a secondary transgression. Secondary transgression would be, if a bodhisattva feels that, they can prevent others from indulging in negativities, even if through force, if need be, need to do that. If not, so they would be indulging in this secondary transgression. Now, the example Geshe-la has given is, let's say, in a monastic setting, where a monk who has certain position, right, who is capable of preventing, others from doing the wrong things, and if he doesn't use his right position and the authority to do the right thing, but just to please everybody, he's just a crowd pleaser, I want everybody to be happy with me. So therefore, don't prevent the others from breaking the monastic disciplines or something like that, then that would be, failing in his duty or the responsibility. So in the same way, a bodhisattva who is in a position capable of preventing others from doing the wrong thing, if need be, through force, I didn't say violence, right? Did I say through force? Then has to do that.
Nonsense.
So where did we start here? I think it's from the 12th secondary transgression up to this. These secondary transgressions are related with Bodhisattva's practice of perfection of ethics or Shila Paramita. Yeah, these are related with Bodhisattva's moral code of ethics. Now the 17th secondary transgression is when others, get mad with bodhisattva, a bodhisattva cannot be mad with others. If others do something bad to them, they cannot retaliate against them. Yeah? So to retaliate against others who have brought harm to them would be breaking a rule, which is another secondary transgression. Right? Bodhisattvas should be able to tolerate, not to retaliate against anger and hostility. So to retaliate would be breaking breaking a vow. That is the 17th. The 18th one is if a bodhisattva has said or done something that upset another person, or feels like, maybe because I have said something, this other person doesn't seem to be happy with me, then the bodhisattva has to make it clear with that person. Clarify it. Have I upset you? What did I say? Whatever, right? if you just kind of ignore that, other person's angry, right? So who cares, really, right? Then that would be another secondary transgression.
Okay.
The 19th secondary transgression would be when others really genuinely ask for forgiveness, right? I'm sorry I said something, I did something to you, right? So I realize that I'm really sorry about it. A bodhisattva should be forgiving. If out of hostility, laziness, whatever, right, some attitude, if a bodhisattva is not forgiving, right, and not accept apology, accepting, then he or she would be, transgressing this particular vow. So that would be a secondary transgression. The 28th secondary transgression would be it's like a holding a grudge against someone, you know, who has harmed you, right? Instead of letting go, yeah, if still just you kind of hold inside you and follow that hostility and grudge, so that would be a secondary transgression. So 17, 18, 19, 20, these are the secondary transgressions related with perfection of patience, okay? A Shanti Paramita. Secondary transgression, the next one, 21, is if a bodhisattva makes efforts to gather or collect a lot of people in order to honor, you know, himself or herself and receive gifts and in all of that, like you're kind of building your own sort of a gift-giving community of some kind, I think that would be a secondary transgression. Next secondary transgression, that would be 22nd, is really not counteracting, I think, the one's laziness and wanting to do nothing. Okay. The explanation given here is, so as a practitioner, what we should be doing is if we divide the night into three phases, right? We need to practice, we can only sleep during the middle phase, which would be around the midnight or whatever sometime. Okay? But next two, we have to do practice. But out of love for sleeping, and out of attachment, God loves sleeping. And then kind of, you know, indulging that, that would be considered as laziness part of it, and that would be a secondary transgression. As Geshe-la says, you know, if you are doing, like, you know, practice, and you're so tired, and you fall asleep, right? But you're not giving up, right? You're just kind of dozing in your practice. You're still struggling to do. That wouldn't be a transgression. If you once in a while, you know what? What? It's okay. I'll just, you know, nap and better do it. You're just going to give up, and really, you just take the pleasure of sleeping, you know, that's what I'm going to do. Then that would be a secondary transgression here. Okay?
That you know the Shungu Femiso Ninzi Tam La Kund Shabi Sim Yi Ti Yoashina Shabi Timutan La Temin Yishi Sidwa. Because the Jew would want to get up so much, then permission to get up in the same way. Continue to do it, I'm saying, Tonight, maybe, did it up there, I'm going to see what. Until Shabbat, Jemutan, let them be Jesus.
The next secondary transgression, 23rd, would be here he says, indulging in gossip with passion. So here, basically, you know, kind of a wasting time talking about. In everything and nothing all at the same time, right? Talking a bit about, you know, politics of some kind, you know, a bit about the sex and, you know, about the romance and, you know, this and that, you know, all this thing. So being attached to all this, you know, what we call frivolous talking, which leads to nothing and wasting all the time would be a secondary transgression.
Okay.
So, those three transgressions, 21, 20, 23, are related to Bodhisattva's perfection of enthusiastic perseverance.
The
next secondary transgression, 24th, would be out of, say, laziness or any kind of an attitude. If a bodhisattva does not pursue instruction or teaching on how to cultivate meditative stabilization, okay, then that would be a secondary transgression. Okay, actually, bodhisattva, you know, who out of laziness doesn't go and find a qualified teacher and you know, who can teach you know him or her about meditative stabilization, then that would be a secondary transgression.
Yes.
No.
Something you should be debassed, something thing is you should give good news, good one, the other one, do Jarawa, give us the idea, give us even Jura de Conji. The news is in the hand, no news, never Sampashana derwa. Nimu said, Nimujin, he said, the same as Gangamari. The Mugwasana, because Subuji was of Jaro, she began thing is he gives you what you know, Tasha Jorwa, the Mugwashi. Then the one, the was in the doing all the shop at derwa.
The 25th secondary transgression would be not getting rid of or making efforts to get rid of obstacles to you know, meditative concentration. So some of the obstacles mentioned, the five here are you know, being attached. You know, attachment could be an obstacle to meditative stabilization or regretting for the positive things that you have done. Okay, that would be an obstacle to meditative stability. If something you have good done, you regret for, like, you know, why did I donate so much money? That's my example. But that would be, you know, issue. Mukpa is a part of laziness where you feel very heavy, right? You don't feel like doing anything. You're just kind of a, you know, stuck in your body kind of feeling. Mukpa. And then there is the deluded doubt, which is like, you know, okay, I don't believe the good karma brings good results and the bad karma brings bad results. I really don't think Buddha really exists, all that kind of stuff. So that would be deluded doubt, sort of doubting, not sure about it. And then the ni, they defined it's not ordinary sleeping, but they called it ni. The correct one again. Deluded sleep, which means like, you know, before you fall asleep, you know, you think about all those negative thoughts, and then you doze off and you are sleeping. That would be a deluded sleep, right? That would be an obstacle to meditative stabilization. So when any of these five arises, if you don't make effort to prevent it, then that would be a secondary transgression for a bodhisattva, right? There are five of them. There is the attachment, then there is the regret for positive actions, there is the deluded sleep, you know, or sleep characterized by delusions, then there is the deluded doubt that, you know, karmas don't exist. And then there is the kind of a, that comes with a laziness, very feeling very heavy, you know, you don't feel like doing anything.
Yeah.
Because usually, when we talk about sleep as a phenomenon, it could be positive, it could be negative, and it could be neither, neutral. Yeah. So we are talking about a particular kind of sleep, like sleep that is characterized by delusions. And the 26th secondary transgression for bodhisattvas would be enjoying and appreciating the joy of state of concentration or samadhi. Usually we cultivate samadhi of all different kinds to be able to cultivate special insight, and combined with vipassana and special insight, we want to find either nirvana or complete enlightenment. Right, that's the way to go. But if somebody, a bodhisattva, gets stuck in the enjoyment of being in a samadhi state, right, and then appreciate it, this is so cool, right, I'm going to stay here a little bit more, kind of thing, then there is a problem. As we say, Houston, you got a problem. Here's the secondary transgression. And so those 24, 25, and 26, those secondary transgressions are related with perfection of concentration or samadhi. Transgression for the bodhisattvas would be if a bodhisattva claims that, you know, I'm a bodhisattva pursuing complete enlightenment, so therefore I don't need to be educated in the Theravadin Buddhism or any other forms of Buddhism. That's for other people, those other people, you know. I'm somewhere else. Then got a problem, okay? Because bodhisattva has to learn about all the different techniques to be able to guide and lead everybody else. So if a bodhisattva has that attitude, got an attitude problem, which is a secondary transgression here.
Right.
Now the 28th secondary transgression is related to the previous one, where we said bodhisattvas must be educated in all aspects of Buddhism to be able to lead others, right? Cannot say, you know, Theravadin Buddhism is not for me, yeah? That would be secondary transgression. But here it said, but once you know that you study everything, and bodhisattvas must know that their main focus and practice should be bodhisattvas' way of life. Instead of that, if they shift their focus to the Theravadin practice, then that would be a secondary transgression. And the 29th secondary transgression for bodhisattva would be, you know, instead of focusing on and studying Buddha's teachings and literature, if they get distracted by other treatises and misleading kind, you know, then they go and follow that. That would be a secondary transgression. So that may also include we call as Tipitaka's treatises, or the non-Buddhist in the literatures which could give you some misleading information.
38th
secondary transgression for bodhisattvas would be, yes, bodhisattvas should learn about all different perspectives available, including the non-Buddhist perspectives, right, to learn, you know, what the perspective is, but must not shift the dedication and focus to those. So if you, like, instead of, there's nothing wrong studying all different perspectives, but if you shift your whole perspective and then follow these other perspectives, then bodhisattva is giving up their way of life. So that would be, loving what is not bodhisattva's way of life. That's the 30th secondary transgression. Our next secondary transgression, 31st, would be if a bodhisattva were to belittle bodhisattva's literatures, right? What we find in bodhisattva's literature is all kind of things. Sometimes, bodhisattvas make certain dedication prayers that will probably never come true, yeah? So finding those things, then you think like, okay, that makes no sense, It's kind of and give up that part of the teaching. Or that's, in terms of, grammatical composition and eloquence, or maybe some of the bodhisattva texts are not that pleasing in terms of writing style and everything, so you think, this is kind of poor writing quality, I edited it out or something, so I got a problem. Okay, so you cannot belittle any aspect of bodhisattva's teachings contained in the bodhisattva literature. Out of arrogance and anger or hostility, if one indulges in self-praising and belittling others, yeah, now that would be a secondary transgression. 32nd. And so out of, again, arrogance and laziness and some kind of attitude, if bodhisattvas, you know, do not go and attend in a teaching, like, well, sometimes busy schedule, whatever, right, you couldn't make it, that's a different matter, right? But out of laziness, out of, you know, some hostility, out of other, you know, attitude, if bodhisattvas do not attend teaching, then that would be a secondary transgression.
Kesu的恰行，这个礼拜的东西同了没得呢？嗯，那题目当你一个东西你写是得了，说嘛的呀？那考试当面这些嘛是固定什么嘛就是，开始是囊中写呢是不？嗯，那个这个说送开那个的用过了吧？底下像那项目写呢，过一下这个要不同大要不一呢？那这个做的同大没东西呢？我今天起身呢？
And the 34th secondary transgression was relating to, again, belittling the one who give teaching, and also teaching and the teacher, let me say. Teacher and the teaching. How this works is, like say, bodhisattva goes to teaching, even though the meaning is very profound, maybe the way the teacher uses the words and expressions and the style, right? Something, okay, you know, you just kind of on that point, so you just kind of look down on the teacher, put him or her down. So that would be a case in point here, a secondary root transgression.
And
so up to here, where we, you know, are left from the perfection of enthusiastic perseverance, or that would, I think, 24, 25, and all the way to 34, these secondary transgressions are related with perfection of wisdom, jnan paramita, okay, perfection of wisdom. Now, all these 34 secondary transgressions, you know, they are related with out of the three types of ethics, we call the ethics of what we call gathering virtue. You know, usually how we talk about the three types of ethics, the ethics of refraining from negativities, yeah, the ethics of benefiting others, and ethics of collecting or gathering virtue. So all these 34 secondary afflictions that we talked about, okay, they are related to the ethics of gathering virtue. Yes.
他这孙子说中国的是吧？他，送啊！送啊！对吧？小娃带了没吧？他这这也是，等小娃带了没？他靠近尾巴没被吹，小娃人家今天小娃能这个一个的，拉不住啊！是，那给老板们了，他要不是辛苦这些，尾巴没被，可是嘞，龙珠送啊，龙珠送啊！现在没龙珠出来就没说要就出口这这些，那肉不消过是吧？不，第一个这里，那小娃当把是呢？
Okay, the
当当不的这下，小娃带了爸爸，带了爸爸，现在我这这给这些带了小娃带了爸爸，要得嘛。他啷么着话，两个啷么着都那样，告诉爸没有，告诉说我习惯用不着话。他给老爸明白的，不就得了，给老爸些，你爸没为来噻呢？你小娃带了兄弟，你爸没有些，你爸有为来，你罗家有么着话？嗯。他龙秀松啊噻呢？对嘞，龙秀被去过这，罗爸的话从。
崇拜用的吧，要就你罗是个龙秀七十六等高僧要学不着啊，这些，等小娃当不是呢，欠下来的噻，俺这女当不是当不是的了的话，我，俺那高中时呢，他不给推荐的不推荐的话，他说东西吧，你，我直接给可能说说错误吧，然后以前没就可直接可能说错过来的要么着吧，他说说不是错误吧，干不下个了吧，我直接告诉马新东师傅。
The 35th secondary transgression, where it simply says, what in this translation says, not being a friend in need. So that would be a secondary translation. A whole lot of explanation given on this is, for example, if you happen to be like on a journey with others, and they need help, right, to make the journey smoothly. If a bodhisattva doesn't assist in that help, then that would be a secondary, you know, transgression here. Or that, you know, like in terms of like, if you could teach, I think it seems like teaching a language here, okay? If a bodhisattva, you know, can teach, assist someone to learn a language, happens to be there, and doesn't help that, that would be a secondary transgression. Or that, you know, somebody is, you know, doing something positive. If a bodhisattva happens to be there, you know, doesn't encourage or assist in that, that would be a secondary transgression, or any of those, right? This is all part of the same package, okay, the 55th secondary transgression. Or that if you happen to be where people are engaged in saving resources, this is, we talk about environmental protection, right? That includes really here, as well as saving lives. If a bodhisattva doesn't assist in those things, then that would be a secondary transgression. Or that if people are trying to establish new rules and a discipline, if a bodhisattva doesn't assist in those, that would be a secondary transgression. But interesting, it also says when there is a festivity or some kind of a thing organized, if a bodhisattva doesn't give a helping hand, that may also be a secondary transgression.
No.
哎，忍不住的，因果没写，那涅槃忍不住，忍不住，小娃不容易写啥，他就说说被告诉爸爸的这个事儿，说说涅槃，说说你考，要如果小娃被告诉爸爸，那你考虑啊，考虑啊，你如果没写，那涅槃忍不住没写，没写是不是？The 36th secondary transgression would be if a bodhisattva is happens to be in a, you know, in a position to help, you know, a sick person. You know, to be taken care of, right? To provide the treatment, to provide whatever assistance. If he or she doesn't do that, that would be a secondary transgression. The 37th secondary transgression is simply put as not helping to remove suffering of others. Now, the explanation given here is if a bodhisattva sees a person you know, who is blind, so, you know, capable of helping him but doesn't help, so then that would be fall under this category, not helping to the person who is in need of help. Or a person who is deaf and can't hear things, you know, not helping him or her to understand things. Or that, you know, people who are so tired, people who are so kind of disheartened and depressed, you know, because of like, you know, how we say sometimes, you know, I'm so unhappy, you know, the whole world has crumbled on me kind of thing. And at times you just, you know, bodhisattvas need to say things to inspire, to encourage, to uplift people, right? Help in that way. If a bodhisattva doesn't do that, then that would be a secondary transgression. I think we need to stop there today because we have to do a talk offering. The time is up, you know. So we will pick this up next Sunday. Yeah, so somebody will remember that, 37. I get distracted. Okay, any questions, please? There should be a wireless mic walking around or going around somewhere there.
Good morning. I just have a quick question to clarify under the 46 transgressions, which are faulty actions. Number five, not accepting invitations. What kind of invitations? Can you clarify that more, please?
Okay. So the question was under the 46 secondary transgressions, the number fifth, where we talked about when a bodhisattva is given an invitation and refuses it out of laziness, out of anger, out of whatever attitude, then it would be a secondary. So you're asking what kind of invitation are we talking about? And again, the Ngawa Deliya, and Kasa, the Chanju symbol again, Taki Disumar, Dumbushin,
Sadung Revi,
Nijere again, Sadung Kazan Dubsa again, and Nijere Ngawa Deruwa again. This invitation is, you know, the general invitation we talk about, you know, I would like to treat you, you know, can we do a lunch together or something, right? If we say, like, invite bodhisattvas, like, for a lunch or dinner or, you know, any other goodies for invitations. So if a bodhisattva refuses the invitation out of laziness, out of anger, out of attitude, so then that would be a secondary, transgression.
Yeah. I have a question about binding factors. Number three, could you help explain lack of shame for others' vows?
Okay, so what's your question?
And lack of shame.
Okay, lack of shame. Okay. Tagi kundi nala rawa gen. Ane sadung jete kalu kundi distang kwa sumbo rawa. Yena mosa seche rawa gen. Li deshe yangjo chono se kumen sa tadi gen kundi jiri kundi kumen gen.
Rawa jite jipe ta sojo mbu se rawa gen na. Ane ta nga nangga sangje jiri mbu se ne jigo mari sam na. Ane mosa she wate rawa. Tagi mbu se de na nangga sangje mbu se mbu se chali rawa jaga su tiren zemi na chiyo pasu.
So the lack of shame in Tibetan, you know, I know this is like a cultural challenge, I realize it, to translate it. We define it like, you know, taking yourself into account as a reason if, the other way around. If you don't take yourself into account and indulge in negativity, that would be what we call indulging in negativity out of lack of shame. Yeah. The example Geshe-la given is as a Buddhist, let's say, and if I'm about to kill an insect or something, if I said, you know, I'm a Buddhist, I can't, you know, I shouldn't be doing that, and I stop myself from killing an insect, so this would be a case where we call, because of, how should I say, now I cannot say, because of having a shame, but having a sense of shame that I prevented myself from indulging in a negativity. Yeah. Now, if I think that, you know, if I don't think, oh, I'm a Buddhist, I shouldn't kill, but I say, you know, as a Buddhist, if I kill other people are watching me, then they will say, oh, all Buddhists are really useless. You know, they kill insects. That would be really bad. Like, so out of concern for others, viewpoint, if I stop killing, that would be what we call preventing negativity out of concern for others. So the Tibetan words are Ngotsawa, means sense of shame, or something like that, and the Teyoba means out of concern for others. Yes, I realize that it's just, you know, culturally challenging to translate those into English. But you get a sense, like, if you take yourself as a reason and stop doing something, then we say you prevented yourself from doing wrong out of sense of shame. So that's the understanding, okay? Maybe the word doesn't work with you, but that's the meaning, okay? But out of concern, like, okay, my family will be not happy, you know, other people will say something about me if I do that. That is out of concern for others, you stop doing something wrong. Okay. Yes, please.
Thank you, Geshe-la, for your teachings. If we indulge in one of these transgressions, secondary transgression, right, or even one main transgression out of lack of attention or something like this, what should we do?
Now, in the case of root moral downfalls in Bodhisattva practices, I call it root transgressions, if we incur any of them, the only way to restore our vows, the root vows, is to take the Bodhisattva vows again. Okay? We may be able to purify the negativity that's related with the transgression, but we cannot, you know, restore the vows on our own. We have to take the Bodhisattva vows again in order to restore the root vows. In the case of secondary transgressions, you know, we can do purification practice and we can restore it. Yeah. Maybe one more question and then I think we have to do soft, so we will stop.
When you dedicate your merits, mm-hmm, how does that benefit someone else? Okay. Or does it just benefit you because you're...
Okay. The question is about dedication. When we dedicate our merit, how does it benefit the people we dedicated it for or to, or does it benefit just oneself? In this Geshe-la says, you know, I mean, yes, when we dedicate our marriage, you know, we do feel that, you know, the others to whom we dedicate our marriage, there may be a certain benefit, but mostly we are the ones, you know, as if I make a new word, dedicators, we are the real benefits. We are the one who's doing a dedication. Yeah. So what's really happening is, and a lot of our practice, you know, is to do with increasing the positive state of mind and energy in us, right? So hopefully that will transform outside. You know, by simply doing those practices, we do not necessarily mean there will be one-to-one real external changes happening. Yeah. For example, we make a lot of offerings to Buddhas, right? Well, I mean, Buddhas are not there really taking our offerings. And in the first place, Buddhas don't need our offerings. But we do that out of our, right, you know, positive state of mind, and therefore we generate positive energy, and then that transforms us, and slowly that might add to, you know other changes. So we will stop here, and now I request our chant leader to do the dedication, and then we will take about 10 minutes. Oh, is the talk already there? Oh, sorry, Sajna. Come and choose Sajna. Come and choose Sajna. Okay, then, you know, as soon as this teaching is over, like, you know, others who don't have this what we call ritual commitment, soft offering, you can excuse yourself, but the others, those of us who have ritual commitment, we can stay and do the soft straight away. Yeah, so we are not going to break up, yeah, for lunch or anything like that. France. Yeah. Could someone, you know, who has flexible arms and to set up the saw? Okay, so let's say, you know, those who don't have the commitment to those practice, you know, if you are in a rush or something, you have other engagement, you know, feel free to, you know, feel free to leave, okay? You don't have to stay. Yeah. We will do a short dedication and then let other people free and then we will do the thought.
Lama lai,
Senje Dangje Lama Laye Gombay Jalay Gopal Jaya Ma Senje Thay Jijye Tandu Dagi Zit Lama Laye Gombay Ngode Jaya Ma Senje Dangje Dungi Le Jaya Dijye Sanje Jye Salay Gopal Jaya Dijye De Lam Samo Lama Ninjara Nyamsu Lama Laye Jaya Wa Ma